Hello everybody, welcome to Craig Touch for a Big Lad. Probably should have got in nearer the core, shouldn't you, Craig?
Yeah, well,
hello everyone, I hope you're having a good footballing week, a good working week, a good family week. My name is James, I'm a QPR fan and season to go. Well, I went to QPR yesterday, we're going to have a chat about that at some point again.
Lovely, football.
Craig is here as well. Craig is from Cheshire, which is near Stoke.
Nantwich.
And a
season ticket holder. Yeah. We always push that little fact on this show.
Not as well.
Patronising a little bit, isn't it?
Anyway. No, I believe in it. I think I'm a season ticket is good for football.
All right. And James Irwin is here as well. James Irwin is a Chelsea fan and
season ticket holder.
Dominic
course.
Lewis can't be with us this week. Why?
He's at the football.
He's at Arsenal.
He is
a Brentford.
That's
Brentford season. Yeah, good gag. You've been waiting to say that, haven't you? Brentford season ticket holder, isn't he? But yeah. he also goes to many Arsenal games.
He does, and he made the long trip to Newcastle.
Yeah.
2-0 down at half time.
Yeah.
Maybe we can give him a shout out about that, because he was telling me how good a trip that was.
He seemed to enjoy it despite
losing.
He loves a losing trip to the North East. For both of those, he should have been bitter about. Yeah. Hartlepool, Middlesbrough, and playoffs.
It's one of Dom's most famous
comes back so
football
chipper.
Stories. Hartlepool away.
Yeah.
He lost three. He loves it, doesn't he?
I think that's a good reflection of Dom as a man. He's glass half full, really. Yeah. It's all about the climbers. Miley said. We're going to be chatting. We've got a few pet hates. We've got a few of our usual bits and pieces. It's going to be a casual affair tonight.
Really casual.
So much so, we might go to Google Trends because we just wanted to sit down and have a catch up, and you guys are here to join in, listen, enjoy, hopefully, and if you don't, then don't listen to it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Simple.
Yeah, well plugged.
That song there was probably the soundtrack to Craig's teenage years. Khalees, Caught Out There.
Do you know what I was thinking when I heard that? It was kind of like a discreet shout out to, it was Hillary Clinton in a way.
So what was that?
Go on.
Shout out to women
right
at the beginning, and then when you've been lied to by men,
right.
Trump.
Yeah,
getting political.
Very political.
Well, lied to by Bill as well.
Yeah,
way back when. I feel like she's moved on since then.
Yeah. You'd hope so.
Donald keep bringing it up. Political, isn't it?
Yeah, really political.
Yeah, let's just take a step back from this.
Reminded me.
A couple of things we have figured out is we've got an opening question which is related to that song. The main bit, we thought it was called I Hate You So Much Right Now because...
It should be.
It should be called that, yeah. Khaleesi missed a trick there. And the reason we've got that as our opening question is because Mauro Icardi is a nut job.
Yeah.
And he's been angering the Italian fans. Inter fans in particular. For those who don't know him, he's a striker for Inter Milan, 23-year-old
captain.
He's the captain.
He's the captain, which is interesting.
He's done well to get
to
captain at that age.
But he's not Italian, is he?
Argentinian.
Right.
I think.
Strange.
I'm assuming.
He's Argentinian, from Rosario, same place as
lovely spot.
Lionel Messi. Lovely spot indeed. So he's got into a bit of hot water. Well, it feels like hot water, but he doesn't seem bothered because he claimed in his recently published book, which is angered Irwin initially.
How do you have a book at 23 when it's not like he's Messi, is it?
I think Rooney did that as well.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
16,
trying to rake it in.
In a book that he's published, he said that he clashed with the ultras at Inter Milan after one fan had ripped a jersey he'd given a small child from his hands after a match and thrown it back at the striker. He also later then said he would bring 100 criminals from Argentina.
I love that.
Criminals?
Yeah.
Does he know them personally, or did he round them up? Were they friends with him?
Are they all getting on the same flight? Yeah. It should be like Con Air.
It says a lot about him as a man, doesn't it? I know 100 criminals, I'm going to bring them over.
Yeah. I don't know any.
What? The ultras replied. The ultras replied that they had 103. So now he's in spot where he's going to find three more.
Shit,
just to match it up.
What, criminals or just ultras?
Just criminals, I think. Yeah.
Hand in hand,
have a proper match up.
So they're having a criminal off, basically.
A criminal off, indeed. And his reputation hit rock bottom when the Inter fans hung banners labelling him a mercenary and cheered his penalty miss in Sunday's 2-1 defeat to Cavalry.
Have you ever, for whatever reason, cheered the misfortunes of your club live at a game?
No.
Because I don't care how much you hate someone. I could never bring myself to cheer a missed Stoke penalty.
I mean, there are different levels of it. It's a grey area, Craig. I remember one of our few arguments was the Stoke QPR a few years ago when we were able to stay up in the Premier League.
We actually
lost game at home,
yeah.
Craig, and you had nothing to play for. and we needed to win that.
Mm.
And for us, if we win that, the next year you get a lovely away day mm-hmm. in London, where you reside.
Yeah.
Smart move. You would have thought that you stuck true to the fact that you wanted Stoke to win that game.
I'll tell you
why.
Even
though your friend is in turmoil. And needs the win, and you couldn't be more mid-table.
I spent £50 on a ticket to watch Stoke QPR. I'm hardly going to go cheering for QPR. It's just not
don't
in my.
Go,
it's I
don't
know,
even
but,
go.
No, no. I've long,
£50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's another fucking.
This
issue
is a Prem game.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Jesus.
Outrageous.
Let's not get into that.
Pay.
Yeah, massive pay. If I'm honest, I've moved on though.
Craig hasn't.
I have.
Have you?
So the question is there a player from your own team that you've ever hated?
Jay, I think I know yours is.
I think there's an obvious one, isn't there, with me? And probably a lot of English football fans.
Go for it.
Or Burnley. No, probably not Burnley, but
Rangers.
Well, go Rangers.
Right, yeah.
Joey Barton. I think it was our first podcast ever, which fortunately isn't available to listen to anymore because it was shite.
All right, I was quite happy with my performance in that one.
That was your best one.
I've gone downhill
since
then.
It was so serious, wasn't it? We were trying to be like football pundits.
We had scripts,
yeah.
Essentially, for bits of it.
It was. We were all really like rosy-cheeked. When you're nervous.
It was warm in that room,
though. It was warm. It was summer, wasn't it?
We'd all come with little notes. Didn't we? I did a bit of research.
Yeah.
I remember to this day that I researched Chris Lyne to join Port Vale. I thought that'd be interesting to say.
Yeah. And regular listeners will, I think, be pretty aware that we don't really do notes.
We've gone too far now.
Actually, but if anyone really did want to listen rather to our first ever podcast, let us know.
And we'll reenact it.
Yeah, Sean, Billy, mates from school.
Yeah.
Is there a player that... Yeah, Joey Barton for me. In that first podcast, I think I called him scum.
he is though, isn't he, really?
He is a... There's something a little bit rotten about him. I don't know why that is, but there is something inside him. Maybe it's pride, because that might be reflected in the way that he plays, because he's never not given 100% or been brave enough to get on the football. But... he's always had a problem with rage. He's always had a problem with, I guess, authority. And he's always been, he's always been in trouble.
The problem,
I did forgive him, though.
The problem is with him, he sticks his nose in where it's not...
Mm.
It's not necessary.
He thinks he's cleverer than he is.
Yeah.
Barton does. He thinks he's an intellect, and he's not. He's not. I've heard him on Question Time.
Clearly,
he's struggled in his average day.
Yeah,
big time average.
Clearly, he's not the sharpest, considering the last season or beginning this season. Anyone could do that. He's been putting bets on.
Yeah.
Does he not know the rules? Is he?
Sure,
yeah.
He does. He's probably trying to get around it.
So,
Craig sort of tried the same scheme, didn't he? Scottish betting,
safe
in it.
Bet
on Rangers, bet on
stick
Stoke.
A quid on something to win and you'll be in the black.
I bet last night you put on probably about a quid on Real Madrid to beat whoever they're playing at 25 to 1 on
30 feet back cash back.
Yeah,
three
pocket that though.
To be fair to me, he did nearly cost us a place in the Premier League. He the Man City thing, he got headbutted and he lost his head completely.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm too good for you. And then I think the podcast might have started, it was might have been a year he'd come back. He was back in the squad. He'd had a year in Marseille, and then he came back.
He
and he
did grow
he was
too.
Play.
You,
and he did.
Yeah, he did like
it. I did grow to respect it because he did come back, and he was a leader in that team. He was great for us overall. Just that first season, he thought he was bigger than he was. But I think he learned a lot from that. But it's obviously backfired.
But there was a genuine point where a QPR player with the hoops on would enter the turn, Loftus Road, and you thought, I don't like you.
Well. It was a case of, I was a little bit lucky in that sense. There's definitely players that you are bemused at the fact that they are playing in the team. But Barton was, he was never, actually say that, the first couple of games when he was back in the team, it was bizarre. Him and Carl Henry, who'd had like a massive sort of spat on Twitter over years, all of a sudden were playing centre midfield together. It was just so weird. But for a lot of the period that I really disliked him, he wasn't playing. But it took me, when he came back, it was the year we went up again in the playoffs, and he was brilliant that season. And I wouldn't sing his name, like even up to like March, And then in the next season, I was like, all right, let's move on.
Happy to forgive him.
Yeah.
Erwin?
We were discussing this before. I found this really difficult.
This was a hard question.
It's really difficult because... that's yours. We all love John Terry. You're just going... Well, I said, this is what I said to Craig.
Basingwa.
Yeah, Calum. Actually. Calum. Yeah. Okay, we'll get to mine. Yeah. We'll get to mine. But I said it's... Regardless of what kind of their history might be, because normally when you think of a player you hate, you're thinking of someone that's played for one of your rivals or... You know, has done something against you, and then they might join you. But I just think it's—I found it really difficult because there's not really been anyone I hate. You kind of embrace sort of, you know, anyone that you bring in as a player because they're playing for your club. No. I'm not saying there's no one. It's the closest Basingwa is a good one.
Oh, I think I've got yours.
Craig said it earlier. Basingwa is a good one because I mean he was. Again, like you, it's how is this guy in our team? He is shocking, and he costs us 17
and
million.
And has no commitment or passion.
Yeah, he won the Champions League, but it shows how shit he is when he turned up at your lot.
Yeah, he's an absolute disgrace. The obvious
one for me was probably because he came from Chelsea as well, right?
Well, he definitely helped.
And I don't hate him these days, but there was a time when Mikel was one where I just thought, sorry, how and why are you
I
here?
Want another Chelsea fan's opinion. He can't be that bad.
He's slightly more respected now, but there was a period where literally all he did was get the ball, spin round, and pass it backwards.
Do you know what though?
It's a good move.
I've got a pet hate.
That's an early one.
Very closely linked to that.
Mikel.
Do you want to do it in a bit? Or
do it in a minute. We've been on this for 12 minutes now.
That's your fault.
So Mikel?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Right.
I found it difficult, as I said.
What about Winston Bogard?
Yeah, but he never really played. So I couldn't really despise him on the pitch. And he was there for a while, but he was, you know, just milking it, wasn't he? Raking it in.
Yes. Okay.
Struggle with this as well.
Yeah.
This is one of the hardest open questions ever.
And you came up with it as well.
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was quite a good link to that story and whatnot. But I'm going to chuck a couple out there. This is harsh because he's a great player. But
it's been really hard. I've got a list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see what I've done there. But Adiga Johnson was briefly...
How dare you?
Briefly at Stoke.
The most underrated player of all time.
He was briefly at Stoke, right? And when he comes to Stoke, he'd got a great career. And he comes to Stoke and just got the impression he could not be fucked. He was fat. And he'd come on.
He always was a bit chunky.
He was really fat.
Yeah.
He was really fat.
Was he Mido fat?
I think hate. Like I said, I did struggle with this, and hate's a very over the top word finder, but he didn't give a shit. He didn't give a shit about the club. I don't know why he was there. I think he wanted to keep himself vaguely in the spotlight.
So he could get
it. If Iceland ever made an international tournament, and it worked.
Yeah. Well done.
So well done.
Well done,
and the closest one I've got to hate is probably Dave Kitson. Because he was a miserable bastard that would let it be known that if he was unhappy with the manager's choice and all the rest of it. When we got battered against Chelsea 7-0 at Stamford Bridge, 7-0, he was subbed. And you think that rightly fair.
We ain't lost. We lost six.
But rightly, he was subbed. I think you can't argue that when you get bad. And he threw a right little tantrum, stormed off down the tunnel. And
I was just about to kick in the high kick.
Yeah, I was going to pull it back in. And I don't know, he's an odd character, and a lot of people are convinced he is the secret footballer, the famous book.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things in there that when I read it, I'm reading it as though he's slagging off Stoke, slagging off Pulis, who I love. Not a fan of Dave. He's the closest I've got. He cost us £5 million first season up, and everything was rested on him, and he was quickly dropped for Mama Sidibe. He did a good job actually that year.
So he's got an ice cream shop now?
Pastry shop in Hanley, Stoke.
Wait, who does?
Mama Sidibe.
Yeah, really.
He settled in the area because he loved it so much.
Got the jingle board there, Craig.
It's if you double click this home button.
Oh, right.
Clever.
Okay.
Forgot the other jingle board, haven't we?
There's no weekend round about that.
It's been around. It's in the twilight, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like it's the Stuart Pearce when he's at West Ham with iPads.
Is that the only use of it these days? Is it just for the jingle board?
Oh, completely.
Yeah. That's all
for
it.
Years.
That's all
for
it can
about
turn
3 years. Yeah. You've got you can't overuse these kind of guys when it gets to that point.
Old school.
If I can give that analogy. The weekend roundup, it'll just be a general catch up. But I'm going to go with random. There's a random button on the jingle board. But let's see what happens.
Go for it.
Touch this.
there you go.
So that was the weekend roundup jingle.
That's the weekend roundup jingle for this week. So yeah, the weekend's been and gone, so we won't go too far with that. Although Chelsea looking good, we'll look forward in a second to Chelsea Man United, because I think that is quite an intriguing game. Let's talk about a game that wasn't intriguing. Manchester United versus Liverpool.
I was so bad. I missed this.
I missed it. Watched it on Match of the Day. And the highlights were like, it was almost laughable.
I was really looking forward to that game because I had last week at work and then over the weekend and then
the brainwashing
Monday,
by Sky Sports was incredible.
Yeah, Red Monday. But yeah, Monday I had a tough day at work and I thought, right, I'm going to go home, a couple of beers, really enjoy this game of football.
Red Monday.
It was absolute dross.
Yeah. Why was it so bad?
Because, well, Man United didn't try to play.
Didn't turn up, did
they? No, they did turn up. Yeah. They didn't try to
Did they, play. The Mourinho bus thing, did that really occur?
He's renowned for it away at those big games. He looks to draw those and then come back and get.
But you know what? That was the first time, and this kind of is my pet hate, because I can say this now. But
okay.
My pet hate is I fucking hate it when people park the bus. When clubs park the bus. I've not put up with it, but it worked for us for so many years. But I wanted to watch that game as the neutral and really enjoy, you know, a 3-2 or 3 or whatever. But, or maybe even just a game that, you know, was fast flowing. And
as soon as you saw the team, you were just like, come on, Jose.
I understand it when, I don't know, smaller clubs do it. So, you know, if you've got, I don't know, Burnley go away to Man United, Man City, they can park the bus as much as they want. But when you've spent that sort of money, I don't think you can.
When
spoiling everyone's fun.
When you've got the most expensive player in the world playing, you don't just sit there and try and get, you know, try and play the game like that. But, you know, to be fair to Man United, it worked. They got a point, which, you know, I was expecting Liverpool to win that game. But then again, I should have thought about it. And
I think that puts huge pressure on the Chelsea game now, then.
Yeah, Giggs actually said afterwards, he said, well, you know, we've got a draw out of this game. We need to now go and beat Chelsea, and we need to go and beat... They've got Galatasaray on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then they've got Man City on Wednesday next week in the League Cup. So they've got quite a few... They've got a lot of games in 10 days, four games in 10 days, and they're not small games.
Yeah. Because if they... Say they lose to Chelsea and Man City win, they're 8 points off.
Mm.
After nine games.
Mm.
I mean, that's
do you feel that, enough, do you feel it? That Mourinho, you know, in the kind of the arc of his career, he's obviously had peaks all over the place, and you just can't help but think he is on a genuine like decline at the moment. He's not gonna,
I think
something's gone, he's lost his spark. I don't know what it is.
Maybe a little bit, but I think particularly this year, you look at the Premier League, right, and it's not just six or seven really, you know, top quality sides, but each one of those have got a quality manager as well. It's the first time he's come up against that amount of class, and it's there in abundance.
I also think football's moved on a little bit to a point where these top teams, part of their plan is to outwork the other team. Like,
yeah,
Antonio Conte, isn't his philosophy like eat grass and like
eat grass? Can't do that.
Yeah, right, no, it's dangerous. Cow can. It's got four stomachs. But as in like work.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, he's all over that.
And
the fitness.
Same with Spurs. Same with Liverpool. Same with if you look at Arsenal and how they beat Chelsea, it was that intensity, that pressure, that hard work,
and the quality.
Guardiola, the quality too. And you couldn't do it in return. But now with the team that you're playing, where you've got Kante and Matic, you've got a team that both works for Hazard because he doesn't have to do that work anymore, and allows Kante to do as much work as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people like Moses, it's working for him now, and it's working for Alonso, because you've got guys who work really, really hard. In that Man United team, I think you've got a lot of individuals. I'm not sure you've got enough guys who can work at that intensity, and that's what's bringing success now.
I think I saw a stat that it might be Ball Street actually put this up, Jay. United were the lowest distance covered so far in the Premier League.
Man United,
is that right?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
Something like they were definitely down there. I think Palace were second, but in terms of combined distance ran, the players on the pitch this season.
Because a lot of people wanted to win the ball high up the pitch.
If you've got Ibrahimovic up top, you know, you're not gonna, you can't press like that.
Yeah, you're not gonna play the high press. Now maybe that,
and you're not also not gonna be able to move, be fluid as a formation, because he's not gonna like drift over to play on the left wing for a bit and then play. He won't do that. Is that
but
target?
Mourinho teams tend to not have that fluidity. It's more kind of power and yeah, sort of aggression, particularly through the middle. Hence why he's bought a Pogba to essentially bully his way through. We kind of had that when we had at Chelsea, when we had, I guess, like Essien, Lampard, Ballack. That's a powerhouse of midfield.
Yeah, and I tell you, there's still Mkhitaryan hasn't played yet. He can't underestimate it.
That's a football mystery. Maybe we'll come to that. I don't know why they bought him, and
he's been injured. And he's been coming back. I've been a bit surprised. But the team that he picked was
Fellaini.
It was fearful, which is not. It must be difficult for Man United fans to swallow, because they used to, even in games like Arsenal games where they clearly didn't have as good a team, but they would go and be bullish, and they were a bit bullish, but they, in terms of going forward, they were really, really poor. And they've got a lot of names though, but it seems like a disjointed team at the moment.
Their squad's ridiculous, yeah. Right? When you look at it. But you know, maybe that's just a sign of the times these days. You know, they're not. Particularly a team like Liverpool this season, if you go for Liverpool, they're going to pick you apart. So maybe that was the sensible way to go. A draw, getting a point away at Liverpool, doesn't look bad so far this season when you look at it that way. Maybe it was just the fact of kind of how the game went. So if it was a 2-2 or whatever, we would have said, you know, great game, Man United, they went for it. Yeah. Whereas they didn't really have an attempt. The one thing I remember was Ibrahimovic had a header and he absolutely messed it up.
I think with the draw, it's a draw's only as good as the results that surround
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Like, if, for example, Arsenal beat Burnley and everyone's going, tell you what, lads, wouldn't have won this last year. Everyone's like, oh, well, now we've got these leaders, we're winning games with cheating handballs. Yeah. Like, it's bollocks. If they draw against Swansea, it
means nothing.
Then they're like, we're in 1-2, yeah, and we haven't beaten Burnley or Swansea. What's wrong with us?
But I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got 4 points out of this. We needed 6 points. There you go.
Yeah.
But they did win those two, so it kind of turns it around. Like, the result is everything, and that's an obvious point. But for Man United, when they've already lost two games. And only won half of them so far. And this is Mourinho wanting to go and win the league. If they don't beat Chelsea, in a tough away game,
I feel.
Then it's not looking good.
I think the game on Sunday, I'm obviously looking forward to and intriguing. Pumped. Just purely because, well, look, Mourinho comes back.
Will he get a round of applause?
I don't know. I think it would be a clap, but there might be some that are torn. I don't know. But you know, he's coming back with Man United, which is going to be tough. But the great thing is,
would you clap?
Atmosphere is going to be awesome.
I'd clap. He's the greatest manager in the history of Chelsea.
I'm going to clap. Yeah, of course. I'm going
to
clap.
I mean, it's not like he's going to come up to England with not a big club.
Yeah, but as soon as that whistle to start the game it goes off, right? I think the atmosphere is going to be electric, and I hope we really go for it.
Yeah,
but you know, I feel like it's set up for Mourinho to nick a 1-0.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
do you think?
Yeah. Of course it is.
That leads well on to my football turn on. Again, we don't have the jingle, so let's go random again because that was fun. Let's just do that from now on. So my football turn on this week is it fits well with the booing or the clapping. I just press random again. Jaws, yeah. That's that jingle board doing its job. My calm down anyway. Seriously,
get on with it.
Yeah. Football turn on this week.
Stop.
Sorry. Sorry. My football turn on this week is about booing or clapping, and it's the fact that Gary O'Neill, you know Gary O'Neill, midfielder, he's playing for Bristol City now.
Yep.
And we played them yesterday.
Nice win.
Great win. Yeah, played really well. Delighted. The sort of first shoots of something exciting there. And Gary O'Neill, he got sent off in the playoff final.
Yep.
And the playoff final that we won.
And we had to play with 10 men, got a winner in the last minute.
Was that his last game?
That was the last game for us, yeah. He got released and went to Norwich then last year. Now he's at Bristol. Anyway, he came over and I was like, oh, Gary Neil's playing. And I was thinking, like, he didn't do too much for us today. He seemed like a nice enough bloke, but yeah, didn't do anything apart from getting sent off in that game. But he took one for the team with that sending off.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
it was clean.
It wasn't
through,
a stupid tackle. Yeah, the guy was clean through.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came over for a corner, and the roar for him. It was like, everyone just clapping him. It was absolutely amazing. I was thinking, who else on the planet has been sent off in a major final, and in this last game, and that's probably his most noteworthy thing. And then the next time he comes, he gets a round of applause. Not once when he did a corner, twice. And he came back again, he got a second round of applause. And by the third time, there was a couple of people went, and everyone was like, oh, come on, we've got to be doing this every single time. But I thought that was brilliant.
That is class. I guess it's circumstances, but that you're right, that doesn't happen very often.
You get that sometimes, where you get like, it's almost like a cult hero, that it's not done nearly enough to kind of warrant accolade and stuff, but there are cults for that club, because we had a player called
haircuts make a big difference. We had looks. Do you know what I mean? We had Gino Padula.
Oh god, I've literally just forgot his name. But we had a player for Stoke that we signed. I've got to find Roman's name. But anyway, he came in for Stoke in the season we got promoted via the playoffs. We beat Brentford in the final, just a bit of a reference point. And then we played Cardiff in the semi final, and apparently as soon as he got to Stoke, his lung collapsed, and he was in hospital for months. And then eventually he got his way back to fitness.
I thought he was going to play there.
He worked his way back to fitness. He made the odd sub appearance here and there, but did nothing. Then in the playoff semi final, we were 1-1 in extra time. We had a free kick. James O'Connor, you remember him? Burnley? No? He played Stoke. He struck the free kick and it hit him on the arse and went in. And then he never played for us again. And he's like the god.
What was he looking at? He's just facing the wrong way.
I can't even forget his name. He's like a Stoke legend. And
Stoke legend.
He just doesn't do the tag, but yet it's funny. And he does get the tag of a Stoke legend.
Wow.
What is he called? That's too mad, then.
I guess it happens for most of us.
Let us know, at GT4ABL, who is the player that Craig is trying.
I'm annoyed I don't know that, because I'm a big Stoke fan.
At half time, do you? We occasionally bring on, you know, you bring on legends of the club, right? And they do a lap. Will he get that? Will he come back?
He'd be loved. It's a tad ironic, but it was a massive goal at the time. It's just funny.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was my football turn. The other football turn I had, because that one just came into my head. The other one was we had some German fans, a couple of rows behind me.
Oh, nice.
And they were speaking in German throughout the whole game, and I was like, oh, they're not normally here. Great. Welcoming of
I'm the same.
I'm the same.
I like them to be impressed by my club. Yeah, this is a lovely club. Yeah, exactly.
West Ham fans don't like it.
Don't know.
Apparently not.
No. Okay.
I've
heard those rumours as well. So yeah, we had about four German fans behind us. Anyway, Sebastian Polter came on in the last couple of minutes in the game that we won 1-0. And we have a song for him. We've got big fucking German. We've got a big fucking German. And I've always thought, I wonder if that's offensive or not.
Yeah, does he like that?
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. But the German guys behind us, like, leapt up. They were just screaming, big fucking German. We've got a big fucking German. And they loved it. And I like that. Because it's nothing vicious.
It would have been nice if they started singing it in German and everyone else followed. That'd
yeah.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
That is good.
Next time.
Grosser. Just went and scales there.
Yeah.
Odd. But so that's my second football tournament.
I completely agree with that. Whenever, because often at Stoke, being in the Premier League, like a big boy shit, you often get tours of, a school might come from America or whatever. Right. And you can all see them, that they sit in a particular block and you can spot them a mile off because they've all got matching tracksuits on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't
know
why, when you walk past them, I just want to say, please love my club.
Yeah.
Please love my club.
Whenever it's a £1, sometimes it used to have like £1 games.
Yeah.
We had it a few times. It'd always be a 0-0 draw. It'd always be rubbish.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Or whenever you took a mate to footy that wasn't a fan of Stoke or QPR or Chelsea, whatever, I was dying for Stoke to impress them. They come away and go, I want to be a Stoke fan now. You want them to impress them on that.
Probably happens now.
Yeah. What was
if you got Joey Allen?
What was amazing about yesterday was we haven't won at home since the first game of the season. And the chemical, I don't know, release And the chemical change,
sexual,
the chemical change in your body and your feelings and your emotions. Because it takes me about an hour to get to the game and get back now, because I live somewhere different. And
I don't know why I thought that was funny.
Because I live somewhere different.
and if you're on the way back, that journey's crap.
Yeah.
If you don't win the game, and it was so much more enjoyable last night because we'd won the game. It was incredible, and I was thinking you must have felt that as well on Saturday.
Yeah, because I come all the way. Well, I often travel from Stoke to London and stuff, and if we lose, that journey is just infuriating.
Stoke Sunderland, that was such an important game.
Yeah, it was massive. Yeah. We did it. We thoroughly deserved it. Sunderland are in Stoke's
awful.
7 and just a bit over years in the Premiership. That's the top 5 worst teams Stoke have played.
I had them as going down. They're going down.
I had them as staying up comfortably and embarrassed myself because they were fucking awful. They were so bad. Watmore was all right.
I think you'll see the worst of Premier League clubs between October and December.
Maybe.
That's where you see how really awful they are because they're starting to get a bit tired.
Sunderland must be...
Confidence is low.
Sunderland fans must be getting thoroughly pissed off with the first sort of half of each season because they're absolutely abysmal.
They just turn it on. I don't understand. There's clubs like Stoke, Palace, Swansea.
Yeah.
You can think of others that have had that kind of decent mid-table consistency, and some of them just can't get. They had it briefly under Peter Reid in the 90s, but that's about it. They're just constantly shit in the Premiership. I don't know why they shouldn't be, but they just are.
I said I didn't see the David Moyes thing working, and it's
Moyes.
Not.
I agree.
It must be
clueless,
this is awful.
Isn't
it? Yeah, but yeah, do you know what? I nearly stopped myself saying that because if you're losing games, you do look clueless, don't you?
Mm.
And you're not smiling, are you?
But I'm not just talking about games. Some of the signings they made were just like, what are they?
Yeah, what are they?
What
yeah.
are you doing
yeah.
here?
Hull as well got absolutely battered by.
Yeah, we got Hull
next
little
as well.
Tiny little Bournemouth, punching well above the weight,
being mighty Hull.
Yeah,
Hull, huge club. Bournemouth, tiny.
Tiny.
Somehow beating them.
Yeah.
How can we keep doing that?
I don't know.
When did they become a big club? 3 years, isn't it?
Hull.
No, barely. Bournemouth. Sorry, I struggled to remember.
What was your question? When did they become a big
when
club?
When do we stop saying they're pathetic tiny Bournemouth?
Oh, right, when they expand the ground.
Yeah,
that's true.
In fact, I read up on that because I've said
so
this before.
That is.
I'm really obsessed with capacities and attendances, and I read that they had planning permission to expand it to 14,500.
14.
But because they don't own the ground, 14. It was come on.
They don't own the ground. Who owns it?
Some of the councils on it. I don't know. I didn't read into that detail, but either way, they didn't have the rights to move on with the expansion because they don't have the rights.
Do you know that shows the how irrelevant football fans are now?
This is it's so true.
You don't need,
it's
you
so
have,
true.
You could be playing to 4 people, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
because the TV deals are so huge.
Yeah,
it's true.
They feed each other, I guess.
It does matter. It does matter.
It does matter.
It only matters
it's
when
a spectacle,
you're.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, in financial terms, you have to be a giant of a club for gate receipts to be significant.
Yeah,
really. Stoke, it doesn't deep that make a difference.
Do you know that reminds me of how's your app going? With the attendance app.
We discussed this.
Off the ground. Where can we get it?
You're going on Dragon's Den, aren't you?
I need to, it's for those that didn't listen to this particular podcast, I'm obsessed with, as I've just mentioned, attendances, and it's so hard to find on the BBC website. You have to go to the official website of the club often to get the attendance, and I think it's such a vital statistic from a game of football.
Mm.
Is that just me? You guys agree?
I couldn't care less.
Couldn't
you?
I'm obsessed with it.
I'm
obsessed with it.
You know,
as long as you're happy.
The attendances have recently gone down, the atmosphere has been crap.
Yeah,
I know that because I've been there.
It's not just Stokes. It's not just Stokes. It's just in general. It's like, oh God, Man City. I'm sorry, mate. Oh, I don't know. I love it.
Very odd.
I love it.
Let us know if you are like Craig and you just enjoy. If you're what's this? What was it? The train spotting of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
You're a capacity watcher.
Yeah.
Are you a capacity spotter?
My friend and frequent listener Ben Stevens completely agreed with me.
Capacity spotter.
Is he what?
Is he a capacity spotter?
I think he is, because he agreed with my point that it's difficult to find and it's nice to know. So I was happy I had a bit of backup.
You figured out who this Stoke player is yet?
I've been Googling it, it's not popping up.
We'll find it by the end of
I've
the
got,
end
I've got
the
a pet eight. Can I quickly do it?
Go.
I've
got
it links,
one too.
It links to the weekend roundup. I'm going to do it now. You do the random jingle thing. Let me just randomise this. You just press the random button, do you?
Yep.
So yeah, we
bottom
have a
right.
Here we go. The pet eight jingle is obviously...
Can't touch this. Oh,
twice
now.
Twice
do it again.
Okay.
Not that random.
The pet eight jingle is... yeah, kind
is
of
it a comedy one?
You had an ominous Jaws for the football turn on, and then that for the pet hate.
So what it is, I don't know if people agree with this, but I get really frustrated when football fans, and more specifically football media, demand entertainment from a football game and are annoyed when it's dull and shit. So Man United drew Liverpool 0-0, and there's almost an outcry from the media that they're wound up that these clubs didn't produce something. Like they should have agreed to say, right, this is going to be a 4-3 thriller. This has to be ace. It's like, they don't owe you fucking anything, Daily Mail. These clubs, Mourinho, for example, come to get a point, that's what they wanted. Yeah. He doesn't owe you anything. Who gives a shit if Bob from Newcastle found it a dull game? Fuck off. I don't know why.
There was a video on Copa 90 a YouTube channel. Don't check it out, go to Ball Street. And it was about, basically, they'd done all the legwork and got up, talking about people saying how big this game is. It's different to any other game. It's a game you can't lose. And then it was an absolute shitter.
Yeah.
And so they had loads of footage from fans all over the world watching this game and it being rubbish. And the name of the video was, "Do fans deserve more than the fiercest rivalry in football?"
Fuck off. I'm a Stoke fan. I've got no rights to Man United Liverpool being a good game.
It's just football, isn't it? Sport.
It was shit.
A lot of those games do tend to be that way because both the sides are so evenly matched, and you know, a point is huge these days when you're playing away. But I know I moaned about it a little bit, but I was just.
You're allowed to moan about it.
It
was just not. You don't feel
that
you deserve.
Yeah. I think that's gone down well with you, Jay. That pay. You can moan and say it's a shit game, but. I don't know, it's a lot of the social media accounts. Paddy Power slated it. Oh, sorry, Paddy Power. We do apologise. We'll make sure it's run at a table next time.
Well, they probably won a shitload of money.
Yeah, they probably did. They probably did. So that's my pay.
I've got pay.
You haven't got pay?
I have.
Oh, you have got pay?
Yeah. I'm
going to take this one. You haven't got one.
My pay, which we were talking about. Yeah, go on, give me a randomiser.
Okay.
You hit the randomiser for me, Craig. Kind of works.
Stop that.
And repeat. My pet hate this week, and Owen, you're coming under this category, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
What we said earlier.
Damn you.
People scapegoating defensive midfielders. Carl Henry at QPR is getting hammered, and before him it was, I can't remember his name, his surname was McMahon. There's so many defensive Gareth Barry,
Glenn Whelan.
Why do I go with this? I'm not a defensive midfielder.
Mikel.
Right,
slagging off Mikel. I'm not saying he's good.
No, I'm slagging him off. We're going round in circles.
But that's the thing. So, what annoys me about it is that they expect defensive midfield. The strengths of a defensive midfielder are they play it simple. They win the ball. They're generally, physically strong, or they'll cut out stuff. Yeah. They do the simple things and allow better players to do their stuff.
I agree.
If you don't have those great playmakers. And there becomes this new pressure on that defensive midfielder. And that's what happens with Carl Henry. Carl Henry is a good, solid pro who last year looked rubbish when he was playing with another defensive midfielder. But if he was playing with someone like Ali Fowlin, who we all know is the greatest footballer on the planet, a great playmaker, he looks good because he goes and wins the ball and gives it to a better player. That's what that's who he is. That's what he's about. But so the pressure that gets put on them and the lack of understanding... often, and not really having to get you, Owen. I'm just saying that it happens, and it happens a lot at QPR. The abuse that someone like Carl Henry gets is completely unfair. In the game, these guys are just slagging off every time he gets the ball. And someone else, there was the ball played yesterday, and it just went out. Awful. But it wasn't him. So no one did anything. And if it was, they would have gone mad. And then there was one moment in the game where we have a few mixed race players. And someone, the same guy, was going, "Fucking hell, Henry!" It wasn't him. It was someone else.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's an unglamorous position where, I don't know, they're in that position because they're good tacklers often as opposed to footballers.
I think that's changed a little bit. I think they've moved on now where they have to be good footballers.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was... like a Makaleli was—he was decent, but he broke the ball up and just gave it 5 yards.
And I tell you what, in a successful team, you love that player.
Of course you do.
And people go, "Well, you know how brilliant."
You need one of those.
You do.
But I think it's moved on a little bit. You need to be able to play.
At the top, a little bit more. You can't carry players like that anymore. Yeah. But what I would say is that often in a team that's struggling, it's not actually his fault. It's usually the guy next to him who plays the odd good ball but doesn't get on the ball enough. And
then, it's an easy target. Yeah, it's an easy target.
And what annoys, score goals.
With Stoke, we had a similar kind of situation. I'm a massive defender of Glenn Whelan, and he comes in for a lot of stick from Stoke fans. This season, we had formations where we had Mbula, Joe Allen, Bojan, and Glenn Whelan often playing in the vague kind of a square or whatever, with maybe Bojan up top or whatever. Obviously, Mbula, Allen, and Bojan would just like charge forward because that's what they do, that's their game, leaving Whelan exposed. And then he gets slaughtered for it. It's like, he can't do it on his own.
That's it. I think you've got to understand that lack of understanding in football fans is very frustrating.
Yeah, sometimes. Grow up, all of you.
And it
think
is
about
often
it.
The DM takes the hit.
DM?
Yeah.
Bob Bradley.
Bob.
I just said it right, guys. Bob Bradley. Quite a good
Bradley.
Start, didn't he?
Bob Bradley.
Lost his first game.
You know what? He speaks.
Standard first game.
Yeah.
Against a team that you're not expected to win, but the guys, they really worked hard.
How old is he? Because I heard something, he's got 35 years experience in coaching.
Yeah.
He doesn't look that old.
No,
he looks
like
12 when he started.
50, doesn't he?
He looks like a testicle, doesn't he?
A single testicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I guess maybe it's their age.
Old people?
What's the word?
Old managers.
Testicle
looking people.
Aspects to managers. Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Born saggy.
Saggy scrope.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp, probably the same.
Yeah.
Bob Bradley.
Slightly different. It's more Red. Kind of. He's bald. Yeah,
there's a game. Managers, what do they look like? Ronald Koeman. Lesbian. Claire Balding. Roberto Martinez. Dom. Looks like Dominic.
And yeah. People say we don't prepare for the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah?
Listen to this.
You know, Klopp looks like Jeremy Corbyn's brother.
Just because of the beard.
Do you think he does?
Hairy face.
A little bit. Not a huge bit, but a little bit.
Arsene Wenger looks like Sideshow Bob's brother from The Simpsons.
Does he?
I think he does. In my mind, he does. Good. Similar nose, hasn't he?
I love lookalikes. Anyone? Pulis. Testicle.
Yeah?
Testicle like wearing a hat.
Do you have to be bald?
Just
be bald, basically. So
yeah, like a testicle, yeah.
Okay.
You can imagine Pulis when he's not wearing his hat, just being like a maths teacher.
Yeah.
Just looks a bit plain and boring. We know he's not.
Head, like deputy head.
Don't cry.
Not head. But like takes it too seriously.
Yeah. But he's the deputy head, but he's the stricter one of the two.
Yeah.
The head's
quite
cool and down
cool,
with the kids, whereas Pulis is like fucking nutter.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you know what I'd like to see? Pulis one time just wear his hat backwards.
Yeah. On his final ever game in management.
Just do a dab.
Yeah.
Football mistress, Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
No,
this was
you,
this was your.
You
this
where
was,
did this come from?
James all got an idea for football in mysteries.
Yeah, which I thought, yeah, and I said you lead it.
I'll lead it via your introduction to it. So Jose Mourinho said what? Liverpool were a.
Football aren't the last wonder of the world.
And you mysteriously thought that a wonder of the world is a mysterious
sort of mysterious thing.
Yeah. When it's not, when it's literal object.
It's wonderful.
The pyramids, Taj Mahal.
I also said we should correct Jose, and you know he should have said the eighth wonder of the world, shouldn't he? Really,
that's the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you know,
anyway,
don't do it again.
So you've hung me out to dry, don't you? So via that, J4, it doesn't work now, but via that,
we came up with a few funny ones. Didn't
yeah,
we
thought
initially.
We'd look at football mysteries. We've got some serious ones.
We solve them now. Let's
and
just get it done.
Some
stop pissing about.
Funny ones.
I mean, the obvious one is how does Lee Catamo get his shorts up that high, and how do they stay there?
Elastic.
You sure?
Really tight, specially made elastic shorts, I'd guess.
I reckon he tapes them.
Do you reckon? So when you know when you do your socks, but he does his shorts.
Yeah, he does that with his
the
shorts.
The garter.
Has he just got odd hips?
Which is he's got like a really odd torso.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That is a mystery.
So the tape, solved, done.
That's up. We'll jump to a serious one. Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, in the 98 World Cup final. What That's a big mystery now. I refuse to believe. Refuse, like a cat. I don't believe that Nike really pushed him to play in that game. No chance. Like the manager would take that.
I reckon he went out on the smash the night before. Which is really hungover or still.
Do you know,
still
had one. Well, now I
imagine
one.
That. Do you,
all right, two.
Yeah, do you know when you play Sunday League football and, you know, it doesn't really matter in the context of your life and you're out the night before you have one, then another, and you get back. Imagine that at the World Cup final.
But
you get carried away.
But sometimes, but sometimes it makes you play amazingly, and other times it just means you are absolutely dreadful. I think it was the latter.
Or in Ronaldo's case, get kind of half dropped, half not.
Maybe he was just still kind of, he was still pissed, and it was just, you know, just,
He just come in. He come into the dressing room 10 minutes before kickoff, just fucking hammered, late, not dressed properly. That's what I could say. So I don't think it was Nike that forced him to play in that final.
So what do you think it was?
He was pissed.
That you agree with?
Yeah, should we go with that?
Yeah,
that's libel.
Here's a mystery. Apart from pundits and managers,
mm-hmm.
where do ex pros go?
Oh,
they just disappear.
That's a
don't
good
they?
What do they do?
I love the players from the '70s that just buy a pub.
Doesn't happen anymore.
I don't know.
There's so many ex-pros, and they must be doing stuff, but I never see them.
Because decent
money. The media's that big.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and the amount of players as well. What do you have to do after you retire? Well, let's get into the media. There's only so much media.
More of these.
Yeah.
Probably more of these opportunities.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. But I mean, there's only so much media players can get into. I tell you that who did the best was Neil Mellor.
Oh yeah, got in there early.
For his status of a very average.
Dean Ashton tried to do the same thing.
Yeah,
not really working out for him,
is it? That's a good one. That
no, some of the best ones. Who's the guy who
Property.
Went to who does the football in the US? Is it Robbie Musto?
Yeah,
he's
like,
get that
he's
kick?
Big time over there, isn't he?
Did John Barry
got there early
as well?
Warren Barnes over
Warren
there.
Warren Barnes, hello Newcastle. Wasn't
there? Yeah,
Gale,
Robbie Earle.
Oh yeah.
That's a good gig, isn't it? A foreign kind of country where football's not quite as big. English speaking, if you can.
You can say whatever the fuck you wanted to and you'd get away with it, wouldn't you?
They believe, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, definitely.
That's a good one.
1966, did it cross the line? Did it.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, Sky proved it did.
I don't think it did. I think it's quite obvious. I don't know how the debate's rolled on. We won the World Cup fine, but it definitely didn't cross the line. From my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, we would have won 3-2 anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, balls to it.
Can a player really do it on a cold Tuesday night? Stuff?
Loads of players have done it on a cold Tuesday night. Yeah.
Is there anyone you've gone, he's done it, hasn't he? No one can say that to him anyway.
It's a good mystery. Long enough, it would be. Debra Barr scored a cracker on
Lots
Tuesday
of Stoke
night,
players so. Have done it on a cold Tuesday night.
Yeah.
It's not against Stoke, though, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Could Gerrard and Lampard actually play together?
Probably not. Probably not. They occupy the general same.
Well, I think they needed that defensive midfielder, didn't they? Just
they did.
Them.
Yeah. Well, they kind of did with Gareth Barry and never had a go.
Yeah, parachute man.
A bit too late, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did Leicester win the league?
Yeah.
That is mind blowing. Still.
We were going to talk about Leicester a little bit, weren't we? I guess it's kind of going back to weekend roundup, but they're doing very well in the Champions League. We should mention that. Not so well in the league.
But bombing in the
and
league.
Anyway.
Considering our shocking start.
It is a mystery then. This is one, isn't it? Is Ranieri a good manager? This is another feature we've never done. We've talked about a million times. Is he good?
I mean, he must be. He won the league.
Got to be good.
That's the first league title we've ever won. That's the first league title we've ever won.
Do you reckon an element of Ranieri winning was just luck? Did all the stars align? Is it luck?
Yeah.
I think at every turn, his press conferences and what he kind of said in terms of the because what you do say in the media does come back to the players and does affect your psyche and your outlook.
Mm.
And even now, like he said, I'm angry at our Premier League form. That's a smart way of saying it. He's not disappointed that we can't do it there.
Yeah.
Because he's then going, look, we've shown we can, in terms of confidence, you can retain the confidence by going, look how good we are, lads. Mm. Now let's go and do it in the Premier League. I'm angry at that. So I think he is a good manager, but I think you do need a hell of a lot of luck in football.
It just aligned for them last season, didn't it?
Here's a mystery. Who can solve England's left side problem? That was one for ages, isn't it?
Alan Thompson.
Where are all the left-footed players? People like, what was his name? Frogger, playing for England.
Frogger.
Thompson,
absolutely. Or Steve Guppy.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Export ball, actually. Here's another good one as well. Why did Torres go shit?
Yeah.
Good English there.
Why did he go shit?
Injured?
Was it?
Don't know.
He was class. He kept having a lot of false starts.
The thing is, he's gone on, he does alright at Atletico Madrid now. He
doesn't play though.
He didn't play. He's not really set at the line.
He does play though. He's still they're a massive club though, aren't they?
Yeah.
He
does get the odd goal.
Not this season. They've brought in a couple of other forwards like Kevin Gamero, but he doesn't really play. But last couple of seasons, he's scored a decent amount.
He's done
goals.
Well enough. I think it helps that it's his club, his boyhood club. But
it is a mystery. It's one that.
What happened to Mido?
Isn't he got a kebab shop?
He's got. Yeah, I don't know. No, he's a manager somewhere.
Really?
What was it? There's a few players like that.
Do you remember the
Steve Marlowe?
We haven't really answered any of these yet.
No. Do you remember the Wigan strike? Was it Zaki or something like that? He had a stormy start of the season and then just disappeared. The face of the earth.
Yeah. Wigan Egyptian.
Was it Zaki or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
He scored an amazing worldy goal at Anfield. I can remember a kick somewhere. Yeah, we've not answered any of these. We've just
if you know
them out,
the answer what, to any of these mysteries,
what about what was actually said to Zidane before he headbutted Materazzi?
I hope someone reveals that.
I think he said, "We will beat you on penalties."
Yeah.
And it did his head in.
You're playing so-so.
Yeah. Oh, heartbreak. Last one, because we're going on with this a bit now. And I like this one. This was Irwin's one. Quite simply, why did Colo Torre take diet pills? Has anyone got an answer to that?
He looks like he's one that'll get chubby when he's done.
Wasn't he already chubby?
Yeah, but you
he's got a big bum, isn't he?
You're playing for a professional football club and you train every day. I don't think you need diet pills.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. But I think if you're... there's a difference, though. There's a difference between, like, 26% body fat and...
2.6.
12%.
That's when the abs start coming out, isn't it?
Big time. Well, you don't. And if you're getting weighed all the time, and you're managing,
right,
you need to get to 12% before we can play you or something.
So like Weight Watchers, they all just have to stand up on the scales and go, yeah, you've lost this much this week. Well done.
Yeah. Maybe he was getting bullied by his colleagues and he felt the pressure to...
Dust! Anybody? Dust!
Yeah.
We haven't really answered that one either.
Football mysteries solved every week on Great Test Rugby Lad.
Or just put out there and you can answer for us.
Yeah, if you're good.
Yeah,
great.
If you want.
What else we got?
I've got a question. I've got two questions.
Oh.
Craig's
one
question.
Is...
Do the random thing.
Yeah. Yeah, does someone want to do that for me?
Yeah, I'll do it. Ready?
It's normally Mastermind, but this time it is...
Would you like me to play it now, Craig?
Yeah, let's go for it.
And Randomizer says...
Is that a dog?
That is a dog.
Do it again. Do it again.
Who wants a better one?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Great question. There you go.
It's classic in every way. Whenever I do a question like this, this cliche Craig's question is, would you rather?
My favourite.
Stop that.
Would you rather?
Would you rather score a last minute winning goal to win the World Cup for England? Or would you rather score a last minute winning goal to win the European Cup for your club?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a good question, isn't it?
I feel like we've had very similar ones.
You started to scrape the barrel for
just,
you, isn't it?
Just answer it, would you? Come straight away.
Anyway.
So, was it club or country?
Last minute goal to win the European Cup for Chelsea in your case.
Yeah.
QPR in your case. Or, that's a great pondering face, Jay. Yeah, or last minute goal to win the World Cup for England.
World Cup.
Yeah?
You'd be a legend amongst all men, not just your club.
Okay. Don't yawn.
Sorry. I would go... Oh, that is tough. European... Champions League?
Yeah.
Champions League or World Cup?
Do you know what? Financially, World Cup makes more sense because every 2 years, you can make a lot of money.
Or 4 years.
4 years.
Well, every 2 years.
Well, 2 years.
Last time we won a major competition.
Oh, I was going to say, when they changed the World Cup every 2 years.
Will you out? 8 years old. What do you think? We really care what you think, 80-year-old James. It's just like, I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know. I haven't watched the game since 1945.
1945?
Sorry, I don't know why I did that.
That's good.
Yeah, I'd go World Cup. Probably because of that. I think,
you'd be rich
in terms of the intensity of joy...
Imagine doing that and spotting your dad in the stand at full time.
He wouldn't be in the stand, he'd be in corporate.
Yeah,
actually, he's a lad, he'd be in corporate.
Imagine that.
I'll get him on the pitch.
And imagine seeing your dad and your uncle and whatnot.
Be good.
Chelsea coach. My son has just won the European Cup.
I know, yeah. No, I just, look, it's not as easy as what I said.
Oh, and you've got to make the right call for your family, or your future family.
Yeah, I'm still going World Cup.
Fiscally,
okay.
Makes sense.
I still think World Cup.
Okay,
what about you, Greg?
Stoke.
Really?
Definitely.
You don't even like them. You can't even remember that player's name.
But you hate England, don't you?
They annoy me quite a lot, England, so they're definitely Stoke.
At the moment.
Yeah.
And you can wash away all of that.
Stoke,
your goal.
Stoke, you could do that. There's no persuading me. Yeah. It's not worth wasting
You could
time.
Win the World
Saying
Cup
that,
in Qatar 2022. You could be there.
I boycotted that already. As a player.
How many goals did you score in your playing career, Craig?
I scored 2 goals in my 7-a-side career. One was a penalty.
Any 11-a-side?
Goals?
Never. Too busy defending.
Own goals?
No.
No,
I've got one more.
I've
got one more very quick question. We won't dwell on this because I've got two. Double. This is very rare, so I'll be very quick with this one. Quite simply, flares, yes or no?
What, in life?
Yes.
In football.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, happy with
it's
that?
Colourful,
Copenhagen last night.
Copenhagen went mental, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought that was class.
I saw a picture of that, yeah. It looked, there was quite a few flares.
So you're a yes.
Yeah, why not? Within reason.
Definitely.
Safety first.
That's great. Within reason, always.
How did they sneak that into the ground?
A lot of people raise it.
But you know how, you know what tight security is these days?
Is it?
It's not
tight. Someone told me, and they'll remain nameless. The last time Liverpool played Man United at Liverpool, he was a Man United fan. He just jumped the gate. Just got in.
Didn't have a ticket.
Just got in.
Blimey.
Just jumped the gate.
Dangerous.
Mad, isn't it?
At Chelsea, they're supposed to check your bag, and if you've got a jacket on, you have to open it up. You just walk straight through, and if they look in,
they're
the
busy
bag,
with the away fans.
But they look in the bag.
Yeah,
it's just.
Oh yeah, that's so true. They just, don't do it probably. Yeah, that's a bag.
That's an inside of a bag.
Yeah.
Congrats. Mm.
That exact thing happened to me at Stoke this week.
Yeah, I've got a wallet shaped like a gun, and they don't even tap it.
Not bothered, are they?
No, they don't care.
Just to say, because it was in my mind. How mad's this, right? I like a boiled egg in the morning. The reason I'm saying this is because we had a double Craig's question this week.
Yeah.
Right? I like two boiled eggs in the morning, so I think it's good. It tastes, it's filling, gets me to lunch.
Bit of protein
is good as well, yeah. Right?
Solid.
I've got two eggs left. One of them is massive. It's such a big egg. I couldn't believe it, right? Popped it in with Tefal toasting egg, which I can't recommend highly.
Yeah, I need to get one.
It's so good.
How long does it take?
It's about 5 minutes probably. It's a toast, so it does the toast and the egg at the same time.
It's incredible.
The toast will pop early though, just to warn you if you are thinking of getting one, and no one likes cold toast.
No.
Anyway, I took the eggs into work because it creeps out the guys at work. Because what I'll do is I'll get them out and I'll to get the can't even say this, to get the shell off, I'll drop it. These are hardboard,
right.
I'll drop it and I'll just roll it and look at my colleagues smiling, and somehow it's just a bit creepy and they're all like, do that at home.
Yeah.
Anyway, bite into my large egg. It's only a double yolk.
Oh, yeah. Well done, mate.
That's
a football term, isn't it?
I can't believe it. I don't think I've ever had a double yolk.
I've not, unless I've had two eggs.
It was.
I had one quite recently, actually.
It
first
made me
ever.
Feel a little bit sick, just because it felt a bit alien-y.
Does that mean we're fucking going off track? Does that mean that was going to be a twin? If it was left to develop, is that how that works?
Simon's or maybe
twin.
Just two heads.
Siamese chick.
Two heads. Maybe.
Absolutely buzzing. If you've ever had a double yolk, let us know. Tweet me at James Alcott.
Hashtag double yoker.
Absolutely. Hashtag double yolk.
Oh dear. Lovely.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got it.
I feel like that was a bit of clickbait.
That was clickbait.
It was, it was brilliant.
We haven't got.
But yeah, I did feel a bit ill, weirdly.
Did you? So clickbait.
I felt like I was eating a body.
No, I don't.
Because it was like you're saying, I was like, yolk. And then I thought, you're thinking, what is a yolk? Mm. Really, it's delicious baby.
Clickbait, for those that don't know, is when Jay will read out several article titles, weird article titles, and then we'll pick what we feel has the best funny potential. / intrigue.
Oh my God. Okay. I've seen one headline.
Right, let me do a random jingle first.
Oh,
so random
I don't
jingle.
Ever want to read it out.
Don't then. Don't, you're wincing. Random jingle is...
We've had that one.
Yeah, do it again.
Come on.
That's one of my favourite.
Go.
Right. Okay. Here we go. Please, scrum and save us. We're rucking a lift.
Rugby team gets stuck in a lift, definitely.
Yeah.
Hot dogs hit by Islamic decree over lack of dog meat.
Yeah. Right.
People warned, stay undercover as Golden Eagle escapes in Watford.
The fact is, in Watford. That's what I mean. That's
Watford made it funny.
Yeah.
Man who got stuck in chimney after locking his keys in his house. He looks hilarious.
Stuck in chimney?
Probably not the best for...
Try to climb up.
Imagine a cartoon where a person gets stuck in a chimney.
Santa.
He's got a big belly.
No. And then they get pulled out.
Right.
And what they would look like, soot from head to toe. That's what that story is. So don't
pick Oliver
that.
Twist.
Crows go on rampage and people think it's because McDonald's closed.
Okay.
They were pissed off about that.
Couple dragged out of hotel room for really loud sex.
Right.
12 hilarious moments from the camping episode, which proved Paddy and Marla on the Soaked Funniest Duo. I forget that. Live crab spotted getting off train at Cheltenham, possibly on way to work.
What?
Is that all of them?
Hundreds turn out for funeral of girl nobody knows.
Right.
Okay. Want...
And that's it.
I want either the crab or the eagle.
Yeah, with the crab.
Yeah, let's go for the crab. I like they've drawn him in the fat.
That was a bit of a slow, weird news week, wasn't it?
I'm annoyed because I've been drawn in because it
dog
says
dog walker sees river turn glistening pink.
Nah. But the fact they said that the crab was possibly going for work's drawn me in, and I know that's bollocks.
That's a bit
because the crab's not going to work, is he?
How did the crab get there?
Yeah. You got a crab?
Yeah.
Shouldn't yawn really when it's a live crab was spotted getting off the train at Cheltenham Spa. The train had come from Manchester Piccadilly, although it's not clear where the crab had actually travelled from or what his business was in Gloucestershire. Fellow passenger Dan Baker was the first to spot the crustacean. After the first sentence, this journalist is just filling. You go, right, I need about 300 words on it. What on that? A live crab getting off a train?
If that's the story you've been given, you've got to take a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah, you've got to get home.
What am I doing?
Put your coat down.
What am I doing?
Yeah, and you just sit down and you just go.
It's not working.
It's not saying it, is it? Right, fellow passenger was first to spot the crustacean. He tweeted, "There's a live fucking crab at the Cheltenham train station. What the fuck?" 8 retweets, 5 likes. And Bethany Jenkins, 17. So no one had any idea where the crab had come from. Bethany Jenkins, imagine that, you know, Celebrity Big Brother, it just gets worse and worse. They're like,
she's
celebs.
On it.
Imagine she's on it.
Yeah. Imagine the crab's on it.
Yeah. It was just crawling through the D carriage, specific. And people were quite shocked and making jokes.
Is there a picture?
There is a picture.
Of the crab?
Behind the yellow line. Respectful. Yeah. She's good. It was just cool, yeah, done that. When we stopped at Cheltenham, some people picked it up and put it on the platform and told one of the conductors. They managed to find a bag to put it in and he took it up to the office. I've no clue how it got on. When contacted for comment, cross countries. Who's making that call?
Yeah.
The journalist again. Mm. Who's the journalist? Let's name and shame. Ashitha Nagesh. He's a poor thing.
Not only
that. He doesn't want to do this, though, does he? He wants hard hitting news. Oh, is it?
Where are we?
She doesn't want to do it.
When contacted for comment, cross country trains said the crab was scored off.
Escorted.
Because again, tried to sidestep pain.
Grabbed it. Nice.
Like that.
I think she's made the best of a bad article there.
I
think she's injected quite a lot of humour into that. I like that.
Probably the worst article I've ever read.
Mm. It's up there.
I know, it's quite amusing.
I mean, it'll get you through the day. I think even, you know, like that sigh, reading that and finishing it, I personally felt like sighing.
I felt like after the first two sentences we made a mistake.
I know, I thought it was alright. I think she made the best out of a bad article. She did like that.
Okay, so that was this week's clickbait. I hope you enjoyed that. The weekend's games, there's only one that matters. Chelsea versus Man United. Nothing else matters.
It's a big game.
It's huge.
I will be there.
Who's Stoke got?
Just Hull.
Big game.
I'm going up to Hull.
Win that one.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Cracking weekend, that'll be, won't it?
Yeah. Going on a minibus.
You said you're going to a social club before, or?
I've been there before, actually. It is like an old fashioned working man's club that's near the grounds, and they serve pints, I imagine.
Who are very you? Cheap. Nicholas Lindhurst.
A very cheap.
Good night, sweetheart.
A very cheap price. It's a great spot. It's famous.
That's a good thing of a social club. It's cheap.
Very cheap. £2 a pint, I'm hoping for.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Man City Southampton, another big game, I guess. Bournemouth Tottenham, yeah, a lot of weak ones.
Tiny little Bournemouth versus Giants.
Little Bournemouth doing their best, and I'm not sure the QPR I've got, so don't worry about it. That's it for this week. Probably one of our most random podcasts.
Went off on several tangents. Yeah,
if you enjoyed it being more random, and think we should have less structure, let us know.
Less structure.
Yeah. At GT4ABL. If you listen to us every single week, can you please go on iTunes and leave a review and make it a good one? Because that would be helpful. We're moving. We've got a bit of news, actually. We're moving.
Drum roll. I've got, no, I have actually. Just so I can use the gym.
We're going to be moving to Audio Boom soon. Hopefully, we can. Sorry, I'm just so excited. Audio Boom soon. It should make life a little bit easier for us, and it might get us a few more listens, which is nice. But don't worry, it's not going to. Hopefully, it doesn't affect you in any way. We'll be able to migrate you across. Apparently,
yeah.
So just keep listening and keep doing reviews because it gets us up the iTunes charts. Make sure it's a 5-star one, and have a chat with us on Twitter.
Yeah,
and the Facebook page. Go like the Facebook page.
Yeah,
because
like everything.
It's good shit on there.
It's kind of like.
Craig took a few little videos in this podcast.
So I did. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, chop them up.
Yeah, get on the good one. I'm just chopping up.
Yeah,
get them edited
slice
up.
And dice it.
Advice for the week. Who's it going to be this week?
Erwin.
Erwin, yeah, let's do it. I hope you have a good week. That's my advice. It's not really advice. Erwin, what's the advice for the week?
Mine is don't take life too seriously. Just make sure that you enjoy every day. And just have fun.
Mm. Don't watch the Europa League. It's crap. So far from sincere.